Good morning and welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. In educating our precious children, the Utah legislature is doing a decidedly mediocre job. That's just one of many opinions shared by Democratic Utah Senate candidate Breck England through his frequent op-eds in the Salt Lake Tribune. And education is an issue that's close to his heart as someone who taught English for 10 years at Bountiful High School. The business consultant has also written on LDS church history and co-authored several books with famous writer Stephen Covey. He joins me now in the studio to discuss his background and why he's now hoping to take it to the Utah Senate in Davis County. And Breck, thanks for being here. It's good to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for Utah Senate candidate Breck England. Our number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Breck, tell us a little bit about your career background. How did you get involved in both education and in the business world?
Yes, I have a really good background in both, in my opinion. I've got a balanced view of the situation in Utah. I was an educator for about 12 years, taught at the University of Utah. And I taught at Bountiful High School, Cottonwood High School, Olympus High School. Mm-hmm. And after about 12 years of that, I got a PhD, and that suddenly made me somewhat marketable in the in the business world, and I had some offers to do consulting in the communication field, which took me all over the world, literally. I have done consulting from Switzerland to Saudi Arabia in the area of helping organizations communicate better. So I've been in that business for about 24 years. I would say that I have a really strong grasp of what businesses need, mm-hmm. as well as a good grasp of what schools need. And I have that, since I have that balance, I wanted to bring it to the Utah State Legislature.
And so are you a lifelong Utahan then, Breck?
60 years. From Bountiful, Utah, born and raised and staying in Bountiful, Utah.
What's kept you there exactly?
I love South Davis County. It's my home. Somehow, home is in your heart. You just don't leave it.
And, Breck, has your involvement in teaching affected your political views at all?
Absolutely. It's affected my political views. I have, for years, been concerned about the quality of education in the state of Utah. I know that we spend a lot of money, but we have a lot of children. And we have consistently over the past 20 years or so seen that we lag behind virtually every state in the nation in terms of funding. Now, some people say that doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter in education. I submit that it does matter a great deal. The situation in Utah is that we are, as a state, educationally, in terms of our performance, sitting right at the top of a bell curve. Hmm. Now, that is not a good thing to sit at the top of a bell curve, because what that means is that you are smack in the mediocre range. The demographic of Utah, the value we put on education and our Utah families leads me to believe that we could do a great deal better than this. when I look at the state that is leading the nation in terms of educational performance, Massachusetts, I can see very clearly that the fact that they put education first in their funding priorities makes a big difference. They spend more per pupil than any other state. They have the lowest class sizes in the nation, or among the lowest, than any other state. And guess what? Their performance shows it. They are the best in the nation in terms of performance. They lead the nation in science, math, English, you name it. Their kids are the top in the nation. Utah is sitting in a mediocre position. I put the blame squarely on the state legislature. They seem to be satisfied with that mediocrity year after year after year. We are shortchanging our children. I believe that with a reallocation of our state's resources, we have a lot of resources. If we were to reallocate them, we could lead the nation in educational performance, given our demographic and given the value we put on it.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Breck England, a candidate for the Utah State Senate. And Breck, we recently interviewed State Superintendent Larry Shumway. He said he would give the legislature actually an A- for its efforts on education this year. And you just said, and you wrote in the Salt Lake Tribune, that they deserve an F, actually. What is it exactly that they're not doing? And perhaps more specifically, where would these resources that you want to reallocate come from for the state's public education system?
The state legislature is involved in an effort to, in my opinion, put education on the back burner. The last few legislatures we've had have earmarked funds for highways, earmarked funds for various industrial programs, which make funds unavailable to our educational system. As a matter of fact, there's some question about whether it's even constitutional for them to do this, as the state constitution requires that the state income tax, for example, be allocated for public education.
Right.
Now, the question is whether or not that what they're doing is even constitutional. But the position that the legislature takes is that they spend a great deal on education. Matter of fact, they say that we lead the nation in terms of the percentage of money we put into education.
Right.
Of the state budget. Well, that, to me, that is a totally empty argument, and I'll tell you why. Suppose you are sick, and your doctor says you need to take 100 milligrams of a drug every day. And you say, well, my neighbor's over here, he only takes 30 or 40 milligrams, so I'm going to take 50. Now, 50 milligrams is not going to help you. 50% of the money in our state budget goes to education, but that's not enough. Hmm. We simply have to look at the $13 billion pie the state has in our state budget and reallocate it. There are also some ways to enhance revenues. For example, the state of Utah does not tax coal, which is one of our major exports. We don't have a severance tax on coal. All the surrounding states, Wyoming, for example, has a 7% tax, severance tax on coal. Why do we have a 0%? I submit it's because the legislature is very much beholden for donations to the coal and oil industry in the state of Utah. They are absolutely soaked in oil and coal money.
Should the legislature, Breck, be willing to raise taxes, at least on the state's higher earners? Certainly there's been an effort to do that in recent years, or to at least reverse the flat tax that we currently have. Does it come down to, do you think, raising taxes on at least the highest earners in Utah?
I have some questions about the flat tax, whether it's regressive or not. Hmm. I'm not entirely sure, but I suspect that it is. No, I don't. I don't think it's necessary to measurably raise taxes on anyone. I think it's a question of, except as I've said, for the severance taxes, where we are exporting our resources and essentially doing it for free to other entities, while other states around us don't seem to have a problem with that.
Listeners, join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255, with your questions and comments for Breck England, candidate for the Utah Senate in Davis County. Well, Breck, have you been involved in politics before, or is this your first effort to get involved?
I was up all night watching the John F. Kennedy-Nixon results in 1960 when I was 8 years old. Does that answer your question?
But how have you stayed involved over the years besides watching the news?
I've done a great deal of writing. I've done a good deal of campaigning. I was a member of Gunn McKay's campaign staff back in 1970. Over the years, because of the fact that my business took me out of the country and out of the state quite a lot, I kind of lost track of some things. But my situation has changed, and I am very, very devoted to getting involved in helping the state of Utah lead instead of lag in so many measures.
Are you a lifelong Democrat?
I have to admit that. My father was the managing editor of the Salt Lake Tribune, and he used to tell me that he had been a Democrat all his life. My grandfather was a county commissioner in Cache County during the Depression, and he had two pictures on his wall. One of them was Heber J. Grant, who was president of the Mormon Church. The other one was Franklin D. Roosevelt. So, yes, it's a tradition in our family. But I also am a Democrat because I believe Democrats put an emphasis on giving everyone a fair chance in life. They put an emphasis on education. They put an emphasis on clean air, clean water, quality of life issues, which I think sometimes take the back burner with the opposition party.
So, Breck, tell me a little bit about your relationship with a famous Utah author, Stephen Covey, and some of the books that you've co-written with him. What are those about exactly?
Well, I'm actually his employee, or rather the employee of the company that bears his name. And I was hired to research and write for the Franklin Covey Company, which I do. And Dr. Covey is a world-renowned authority on business and personal effectiveness. And I do a great deal of his research and help him with his writing.
And you also have written on LDS church history a bit as well, I understand. Tell me a little bit about that.
When I was in college, I was employed part-time as a researcher in the Mormon Church Historical Department. And that kind of gave me a spark of interest in that area, and I have ever since pursued little projects in relation to that, just out of sheer curiosity and interest.
So going back to what we were talking about earlier about you being a lifelong Democrat, Breck, there's been a movement in the Utah Democratic Party, you know, to recruit more LDS Democrats, members of your faith, into the party. Tell me a little bit about how you feel the two go together.
Well, I am a committed LDS person. I'm also a committed Democrat, and I believe there is a strong relationship in my mind between those two sets of values, although I don't pretend to equate my religion with my politics, not in any sense. Mm-hmm. There are certain principles that my religion holds that I believe are consonant with principles in the Democratic Party. For example, the equality of all human beings. I'm a very, very strong supporter of civil rights. I believe the church is committed to that. I am a strong supporter of helping the underprivileged. I believe the church is committed to that. I personally think there isn't a whole lot of contradiction there. Things that other progressive people believe in that I don't, but that's also a personal matter as well.
We're speaking with Breck England. He's a candidate for the Utah Senate running in Davis County. Listeners, if you want to join us on the air, our phone number to call in is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. We're going to take a short break and return in just a moment here on Politics Up Close. This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson, and I'm speaking this morning with Breck England. He is a Democratic candidate for the Utah Senate running in Davis County. The district also includes Rose Park here in Salt Lake City. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255, or you can send your tweets to us at KCPW. And Breck, you know, we talked about education a little bit. Let's talk about some of the other platforms of your campaign. For example, the environment. You recently wrote an interesting op-ed in the Salt Lake Tribune called The Great Utah Burnout, talking about the many refineries you have up there in Davis County, a very important local issue. Some of these refineries have been in the news a lot lately, you know, explosions and environmental issues and that sort of thing. What was this op-ed about, The Great Utah Burnout?
Well, just briefly, the three of the five refineries in the Salt Lake Valley process fuel through a system called the hydrofluoric acid alkylation units. And that's a big name for a very dangerous thing. An HF unit contains huge quantities of a highly volatile chemical, which, if released, turns into a very dangerous gas that travels at 25 miles an hour when it's released, which means that within about 12 minutes, virtually the entire metropolitan area of South Davis and North Salt Lake County would be under a killing cloud, a maiming cloud at least, of hydrofluoric acid vapor Now, of course, the refineries keep that material under careful supervision, but there are such things as catastrophes. There are earthquakes. I suspect that in an earthquake, this valley might be less damaged by the earthquake itself than by the hydrofluoric acid releases from the refineries, which could literally choke and kill between 700,000 and a million people based on the estimates that I've seen.
So what do you want the state or local governments to do about this exactly?
Well, I believe that the companies themselves should step up and pay the price to change that change that HF process to something that's a lot more a lot safer. There are safer alternatives available, but they are not. They don't seem to be willing to do anything about it. I don't think that something that dangerous should be sitting in the middle of a metropolitan area, and I believe that they should take steps to remove those things simply because of the inherent danger. When I asked the folks at the Holly refinery, for example, what they plan to do about it, they sort of looked at each other and said nothing.
So what else do you think the Utah legislature can do when it comes to air quality, Breck?
The Utah legislature, in my opinion, has knuckled under to the they essentially are a rubber stamp for any industrial expansion that could cause more pollution in Utah. The Wasatch Valley has been given an F by the American Lung Association for the quality of our air. As far as our legislators are concerned, my sense is they couldn't care less. There have been no efforts whatsoever on the part of this last legislature to address it at all. But let me just give you one idea. Our refineries in our valley produce about 600. The one nearest me in Woods Cross produces about 600 tons of effluent into the atmosphere every year, which I figure is about 10 pounds of effluent for me, right, to breathe every year. And that 10 pounds of effluent, they could stop emitting completely. They say, well, we're in line with the regulations. But the fact is the Japanese have found ways to bring their refineries down to zero emissions. Now, how about that? How would you think about that, Jeff, if we had zero emissions? If the Japanese can do it, why can't we?
So Governor Gary Herbert has started this initiative called UCARE to clean up air quality in Utah, but the effort is entirely voluntary, at least so far. Do you think that has any chance of success or no?
It has no chance of success. There may be a slight movement on the part of some companies to do something. We asked the Holly refinery people what they planned to do, and they said, we don't plan to do anything about that.
Listeners, join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255 to call in and speak with Utah Senate candidate Breck England. Byron is calling from Draper. What is your question or comment, Byron?
Well, I first got a comment, and that is I'm a retired teacher, 35 years, and I retired 12 years ago, and I've just seen education decline over the last 12 years. And it's frustrating to me to see it. With such a great ship of education start sinking, and it's all, you know, I've been all thankful I retired, that and I've seen the teacher salaries have stagnated and insurance has gone up, and I've seen us, we're in 51st place in the nation when it comes to per student education, and yet we cut our state income tax about 7 years ago from 7% down to 5% as the upper rate. And being in 51st place, so if there are more states, we'd be in 68th place because we're $900 below Mississippi. And my question is, do you think you could help, if you're elected, and I wish you the best of luck in getting elected, to deal with people in there who's, we have the state's education committee chairman whose day job is to keep taxes low. Do you think you'd be able to work with him and maybe help reverse this trend? We've got a lot of heroes in education that are doing such a great job, and we don't want to lose them.
Yeah, thanks, Byron. I do have a lot of respect for you and for the folks that that teach our children. I used to be one of them, and I was appalled at how the legislature used to treat us. I have this notion that businesses come to Utah and provide jobs because, at least in part, because the educational environment is good. I believe they would more of them would come here if the educational environment was better. I think I could work very well with people like the one you mentioned, Senator Stevenson, by appealing to him in terms of the business climate that we could have in Utah that would be greatly improved if we had a greatly improved educational system. People don't want to move here and have their kids stuck into a mediocre system, crowded classrooms, very little support. If they want to come here and have their children in a great system, great and get a great education. And a great education system means more businesses. More businesses means more jobs. More jobs actually means a greater economy, and that means lower taxes.
Byron, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. 801-355-TALK. 801-355-8255 is the number to call and join us on the air. We're speaking with Breck England, a Democratic candidate for the Utah Senate running in Davis County. Well, Breck, we've talked a lot about education funding, but I'm curious, you know, from your perspective as a former teacher, what are the consequences that teachers actually see in the classroom from lower education funding? What do they see when it comes to not only their well-being, the teachers, but also the well-being of the students?
Well, when I left teaching, there were 215 students under my management. That's a huge number. It's 215 high school students, all of them writing. I was a writing teacher. Imagine the burden of trying to evaluate and coach 215 students on their writing skills. It was an overwhelming burden. If I had had half that many, I could have done, twice the job. You see what I mean? That is the kind of consequence I'm talking about. If you want your children to be consistently left behind, if you want them to be consistently shortchanged, keep the status quo. They say Utah's the best managed state in the nation, and that may be true in terms of managing a budget. But it is not the best led state in the nation. And I believe there's a difference between managing and leading. We could lead the nation in the quality of our education. We could lead the nation in the quality of our environment. We could lead the nation in the quality of the ethics, for example. We could be the ethical star in the sky. We could be the ethical city on a hill. But instead we get a D in ethics from the Center of Public Integrity. We are not being led. We are simply being managed into the ground.
Breck, let's talk more specifically about the point you just raised about ethics, one of your campaign platforms. Where does the legislature fall short in that regard from your perspective?
Well, the legislature falls grossly short. There is a supermajority of Republicans in the state legislature. They close their caucus meetings to the public. That means that virtually everything that is important that is decided in this state is decided behind closed doors. To me, this is absolutely appalling. I've been part of the ethics initiative that Kim Birmingham and others are promoting to try and get the state legislature to take action, to at least give us an open government so that the citizens can see and hear what is going into the decisions made by our state legislators. My opponent and other Republicans don't see any problem with that. I do, and I think most Utahns do.
So, Breck, if you are elected, what would be your strategy for actually getting things done? Right now, the Senate Democratic Caucus has 7 members out of 29, literally less than a quarter of seats in the Senate. It's roughly the same over in the House of Representatives. How could you guarantee your constituents that you would actually be successful in accomplishing things if elected to the Utah Senate?
I've studied all my life how to be persuasive. As a matter of fact, that's my profession, is to help other people learn how to be persuasive. And I don't teach persuasion as an art of manipulation. I teach it as an art of finding the third alternative, the better alternative than what you or I have in mind. There are better ways to do what we're doing. in my mind, a leader is a person who takes the better path, the path that maybe nobody else has taken. For example, Utah is locked up with the coal industry in terms of generating power. It's dirty. It's offensive to the environment. And frankly, it's a 19th century system. Nevada is putting up the Crescent Dunes solar power project, which is an amazing invention out in the Tonopah Desert. And they will be able, with one station, to power 75,000 homes in Las Vegas with absolutely no pollution whatsoever and relatively inexpensive. 75,000 homes, or one casino, depending on how you look at it. And that to me is an amazing development. We don't have anything like that in Utah. We're not even interested in it. Our legislature don't care about it. We have tremendous geothermal resources in Utah, non-polluting energy sources all along the Wasatch Front. Look at the hot springs that are all along the Wasatch Front. Right underneath us is a bubble of magma that could be an energy source for generating electricity. We're not doing anything about it. Nothing. Nevada is 10 times ahead of us. They do 10 times more geothermal power than we do. California does hundreds of times more geothermal power than we do. We are not being led. That's my point. I love and respect the governor and my opponent. I think he's a great guy, but they are go-along people. They are happy with the mediocre status quo. They're happy with being managers. I think we should be leaders.
801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255 is the number to call. And, Breck, we actually have another candidate calling in. Scott Howell, the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate, is on the line. Scott, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you. What do you have to say to Breck?
Good. Nice to hear from you. You know, I just... I'm so impressed, and Jeff, you and I talked about this last time in there, with the quality of candidates that you see in Brett. Here's an individual that wants to go out and serve in our legislature to make a difference. And I think what the Democrats are teeing up this year are people who have vision, who are bold, and show genuine leadership. And I think for Brett, it's going to be an opportunity to take the legislature and show a very important concept. What we and corporate world, and I'm going to put on my corporate hat, the number one criteria that we looked at IBM when we relocated a facility or a plant was education. People used to say to me all the time, oh, we'll get you this tax break or we'll get you that tax break. But our employees, we could only recruit those where there was a sustainable, high-quality delivery of pre-K through lifelong learning skills. And I think that's what Brett brings to the table so well and so eloquent. So, Brett, congratulations and continued success. And, Jeff, thank you for hosting such a great program.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Scott.
801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255 is the number to call. Breck, we just have a couple minutes. Our time is short here, but I want to get to one issue that the Utah legislature dealt with heavily this last session and will likely continue to in the future, this public lands debate, this effort to take control of Utah public lands from the federal government. In the name of public education funding is how it's been done so far. State lawmakers say that if these lands are returned to state control, that it will mean much more oil and gas revenue for the state and for public education. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's false. It's a tantrum that they're throwing. Public lands in Utah are already being heavily exploited. The federal ownership is actually a boon for the state of Utah.
How so?
Utah receives $70 million a year in lieu of taxes. That's just a free gift. We also receive $150 million a year to manage those lands. If we were to take possession of the lands, we would immediately have to replace $225 million in revenue to the state.
But the idea is that if we did have control, that the revenue would eventually be much, much higher than that.
Well, it can't be. I think they're pulling the wool over your eyes. For example, it's true that there are a huge quantity of coal, for example, under Utah lands. I estimate the entire reserve of coal that Utah has could produce something on the order of $16 million a year in funding to the state. That is a pittance. If that's what they're talking about, then they are blowing smoke.
Let's finally, Breck, get to the campaign itself in the few minutes that we have here. So the Senate district includes mostly Davis County, but also Rose Park here in Salt Lake City. You grew up there. You know Davis County is, pretty Republican. How would you win this race as a Democrat in such a predominantly red area?
By appealing to people and the things they really care about, the education of their children. They're not happy with it. They're dissatisfied with the mediocrity. They're dissatisfied with the crowding. The environment, they're not happy breathing 10 pounds per person of effluent from the local refineries. They're just not happy with that. Why would they be? They're not happy with the fact that the state government is not transparent. The fact is the people of Davis County and North Salt Lake County are very much aligned, I think, with the way I see things. I wish that we could get our message to them. We will try to get our message to them in the very, very best possible way so that they can see that they're actually, by voting Republican, are actually voting for the status quo of mediocrity.
Sam Johnson, Breck, asks on Twitter, how do you think Mitt Romney's presence on Utah's ballot will affect Democrats' chance of winning state and national races? Do you think it will affect this race?
Well, of course it will. That's obvious. Our best opportunity to get people to vote for Utah Democrats is to show them that Utah Democrats have their best interests in mind.
And finally, Breck, we recently interviewed your opponent on this program, incumbent Senator Todd Weiler. It was an interesting conversation. We were talking about how he doesn't identify with the Tea Party, and we were talking about closed caucus meetings, which I just talked with you about, and how he doesn't favor closed caucus meetings either. What do you make of your opponent, and how will you truly make the case that you're the better person for the job?
Todd is a terrific guy. I know him, and I like him very much. I don't oppose him personally, and I actually kind of admire his stand on a lot of things. But Todd is a go-along guy. He doesn't like the idea of a closed caucus, but he goes right in and sits there behind the closed doors like everyone else. I think that Todd is a perfectly good person. I just don't think that he sees things the way I do. I see that we are not being led. I see that we need to lead in education. He seems fairly happy with the way things are. I think we need to do something radical about the air quality in Utah. He, from his perspective, he says he's concerned, but his voting record and his legislative record show no interest whatever in the matter.
I've been speaking with Breck England, a candidate for the Utah Senate running in Davis County. The district also includes Rose Park here in Salt Lake City. Breck is the Democratic candidate for the race. And Breck, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate your time.
Up next, we'll be talking with Republican State Representative Fred Cox of West Valley City. Thanks for joining us on Politics Up Close.